Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Later on in the show, we'll have a review of Tim Burton's new film, Dark Shadows. But right now, on the musical portion of the program, we're going to feature music from the films of Dark Shadows star, Johnny Depp. And we have a lot of musical territory to cover on the program today, so let's go ahead and get right into it, beginning with a score from a film early in Depp's career, the first collaboration he had with director Tim Burton, a lovely movie called Edward Scissorhands, featuring a score by Danny Elfman. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
Just a beautiful score written for Edward Scissorhands, one of Danny Elfman's best in my estimation. Next up, let's move to a charming score from composer Rachel Portman, written for a movie Depp starred in called Binny and June. Enjoy. That's music from Binny and June, written by Rachel Portman. Next up, we have music from another collaboration between Tim Burton and Johnny Depp. This, one of the few not scored by Danny Elfman, who had a bit of a breakup with Tim Burton during the mid-1990s. Burton's ambitious movie Ed Wood featured a fine score by composer Howard Shore. Take a listen.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Edward D. Wood, Jr.? Thank you.
music by Howard Shore, written for Ed Wood, and ironically, Howard Shore not sounding entirely different from Danny Elfman that time around. Next up, a lovely score from composer Michael Kamen, written for a movie co-starring Depp and Marlon Brando, which was released in the mid-1990s, Don Juan DeMarco. Enjoy. Music from Don Juan DeMarco, written by Michael Kamen. Marlon Brando wasn't the only big-screen legend that Depp co-starred with during the 1990s. He also starred opposite Al Pacino and Mike Newell's fine thriller Donnie Brasco. Take a listen to this score by Patrick Doyle. Thank you. That's music from Donnie Brasco, written by Patrick Doyle. During the late 1990s and early 2000s, Depp starred in a number of ambitious but mostly underwhelming dramas. One of those was a movie called The Astronaut's Wife, in which he co-starred with Charlize Theron. Let's take a listen to some of this score by George S. Clinton. And that's music written by George S. Clinton for the film The Astronaut's Wife, an atypical score from Clinton, who generally scores comedies, is probably best known for his work on the Austin Powers franchise, but delivered some interesting stuff on The Astronaut's Wife. Next up, we feature a score by composer Philip Glass, written for a movie based on a story by Stephen King called Secret Window. Thank you. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're featuring music from the films of actor Johnny Depp on the program today. Next up, we have a piece actually written by Mr. Depp himself, the theme song for the character that he played in Robert Rodriguez's action movie Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Let's take a listen. Of course, is music from Mr. Johnny Depp himself, not an untalented composer, written for Once Upon a Time in Mexico. We continue now with a bit of music from the franchise that really made Depp a gigantic star in the 21st century, and that, of course, is the Pirates of the Caribbean series. For me, far and away the best score in that series was written for the third installment, Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Let's take a listen to some of this from composer Hans Zimmer.
Thank you.
Hans Zimmer taking a cue from Ennio Morricone for his score for Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Next up, we move on to a gentle, lovely score by Jan A.P. Kaczmarek, written for a critically acclaimed movie in which Depp played author J.M. Barrie called Finding Neverland. Enjoy! And that's music from the film Finding Neverland. That score actually won the Academy Award for Best Original Score that year. I don't think it's quite that good, but it's an interesting effort and a very pleasant, easygoing one. We continue now with a score from composer Danny Elfman, written, of course, for a film directed by Tim Burton, generally regarded as one of Tim Burton's lesser films, and that is certainly true, I think, but Elfman's score is a really inventive and compelling one, and this main title in particular, one of the strongest pieces he's written in recent years, I think. This is his main theme for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We'll be right back. a dynamic score written for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by composer Danny Elfman. That wraps up the musical portion of today's program. I do hope you've enjoyed the music, and we now move along to a quick review of yet another film directed by Tim Burton, scored by Danny Elfman, and starring Johnny Depp. For years, movie buffs have been debating whether Tim Burton is a genuinely gifted director or simply an overglorified set designer. In recent times, Burton's fiery Sweeney Todd provided plenty of fuel for the former camp, while his immensely disappointing reimagining of Alice in Wonderland did the same for the latter. His latest effort, an updating of the cult soap opera Dark Shadows, falls squarely in the middle. It's neither a Planet of the Apes-level disaster nor an Edward Scissorhands-level gem, just a perfectly tolerable and mostly forgettable way to watch Burton do that thing he does. Johnny Depp joins Burton for an eighth time to play Barnabas Collins, an 18th-century vampire who's been buried alive for 200 years. When Barnabas is finally released in 1972, he finds himself bewildered by both the eccentricities of modern culture and by the fact that the once prestigious Collins family is now a pale shadow of its former self. The Collins estate is ruled over by the firm Sensible Elizabeth, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, who has a moody teenage daughter named Carolyn, played by Chloe Grace Moretz. Also residing at the estate, the self-absorbed Roger, played by Johnny Lee Miller, Roger's young son David, played by Gulliver McGrath, an alcoholic psychiatrist, played by Helena Bonham Carter, a slovenly groundskeeper, played by Jackie Earle Haley, and a beautiful young maid, played by Bella Heathcote, who looks conspicuously like the young woman Barnabas loved centuries ago. Barnabas immediately sets out to restore the estate to its former glory, but faces ferocious opposition from the ageless witch, played by Eva Green, who originally condemned Barnabas to life as a vampire. The basic problem with Dark Shadows is that the plot is essentially much ado about nothing. A great deal of time and effort is spent on putting a host of pieces in place, but the central story is so thin and predictable that the effort simply doesn't feel worthwhile. What Burton has delivered is a great-looking film, populated by compelling characters working their way through a rather uninteresting story. I enjoyed hanging out with these people in their peculiar world, but I wish that either Burton had been more content to simply let us chill with the characters, or that he had given the characters a meatier story to work with. Truthfully, the film's best sequence is its opening one, which takes place in the 18th century and delivers Barnabas's origin story with the sort of gothic passion that Burton does so well. Alas, once Barnabas arrives in 1972, the movie transforms into a disappointing mixture of fish-out-of-water comedy and a fantastical revenge drama. Some of the comedy works, though it's featured less prominently than the ad campaign suggests, and it's more chuckle-inducing than laugh-out-loud funny. Unfortunately, the tale of revenge and forbidden romance never really sticks the landing, because it lacks conviction. The movie is too lightweight and goofy to deliver the kind of thunderous drama it promises in the opening minutes. I certainly don't dislike Dark Shadows, as Depp turns in one of his more focused performances of recent times, and proves a compelling anchor for the movie. Most of the supporting players are short-changed. Burton probably should have snipped two or three of his key supporting players, but they all handle their roles well, particularly Eva Green as the lusty villain, and Michelle Pfeiffer as the no-nonsense matriarch. It's always a pleasure to look at, thanks to the absorbing set design and cinematography, and a pleasure to listen to, thanks to Danny Elfman's energetic score, and the generous supply of iconic 70s pop Burton employs. Even so, Dark Shadows is ultimately a misfire, a movie which squanders far too much of its considerable potential. Here's hoping Burton's forthcoming Frankenweenie represents a return to form for the talented, yet increasingly inconsistent director. I give Dark Shadows a rating of 2.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show, and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone. I'll be back at you later.
We only run for the money, got no strings attached. We shut 'em up and we shut 'em up.